The Kinky Cocktail Hour is brought to you by Motor Bunny, the world's most powerful saddle-style vibrator that offers fabulous creative sexual experiences. We use it and it rotates, it vibrates, and it delivers mind-blowing orgasms. Enjoy Motor Bunny as your favorite sex toy. When you order the Motor Bunny, multiple attachments are included along with the Link controller, which allows wireless control from anywhere. Motor Bunny is the world's most powerful saddle-style vibrator on Earth. Use the link in the show notes and spice up your sex life with a Motor Bunny. You're listening to Kinky Cocktail Hour, a conversation between adults about sex-forward relationships, kinky lifestyles, and frank communication. If you're under 18, please stop listening and visit scarletteen.com. I'm Lady Petra, and my pronouns are she, hers, and we.
I'm Saffa Master, and my pronouns are him, his, and we.
And this is Kinky Cocktail Hour.
Cheers! Cheers! Okay, what are we drinking today?
New drink.
Again?
Yeah. Wow. It's called the Hemingway. It's very, very simple. It's equal parts of Benedictine and cognac, and we're using VSOP.
Well, you know, that's like two perfect liquids blended together.
Totally. And you mix it with lots of ice, and then you peel a lemon wedge, you know, basically for the Y peeler, and express the oils in, and then stir it, and that's it.
That's it.
Simple.
Benedictine.
And VSOP.
VSOP.
Cognac.
Cognac.
Mm-hmm.
And a little lemon twist.
Yep.
All right. Smells delicious.
Wow.
I mean, how good is that?
That's really good. Wow, the botanicals really pick up the lemon.
It's an amazing drink.
And the honey.
Mm.
Ooh. That's like got a lot of, like, at the end of your taste, the finish of the taste is what's so complex.
Every part of it, the sip is complex. It feels syrupy in your mouth. You swallow it. You get a tiny hint of VSOP, but you get overwhelmed with this floral experience of the spring garden.
Yeah, that's what it tastes like.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
What a drink. The Hemingway. Who knew?
The Kinky Cocktail Hour is brought to you by Slub USA, the world's strongest, most powerful male masturbator. Visit Slub USA at slub-usa.com. Today's conversation is brought to you by WeMinder, a behavior chart app for kinky couples like us. Learn more at WeMinder.app.
So we're going to do notes from the rabbit hole.
Okay.
And, you know, we have a fair amount of
notes.
Catching up to do. We have a lot of notes. We have a lot of notes. Yeah, so quite a year we've had, I would say.
It's pretty transformative, I think, because we have a greater trust and ability to let go of meaning.
Yeah.
And we're comfortable that we can really explore in a way that's been, for a lot of people, they'll never get to this. That's not a judgment. It's just literally we have access to something. I think few people have access to.
Maybe, yeah. Well, I mean, what started out as a strict DS 24/7 TPE dynamic was a little bit turned on its head when we started doing clitification.
Right.
And clitification was really just me focusing on clit sucking.
Mm-hmm.
And that became, by accident, queening. And the accident was that we got ill. We actually had food poisoning. So we were stuck in bed for like a week.
Yeah.
And we were just too like tired to fuck. So we did queening, which is you sitting on my face and fucking my face.
Mm-hmm.
And that opened up a whole new world of really interesting experiences in queening. But also, we coincidentally, at the same time, you went off to a trip to Florida. And while you were gone, I surfed big clit porn. I don't know why, right? I did. I just got into big clit porn. And I was like, I want you to grow your clit. And you were like, you know, a little skeptical, but maybe okay, let's see what, you know. And we had a conversation and we made agreements around it and we started applying testosterone to your clit. And lo and behold, better living through chemistry, your clit started to grow.
Yeah, exactly.
And the combination of your clit growing, of the queening, there was a moment where you were like beginning to feel, the way you put it was, I'm snow leopardy.
Very primal.
Primal, yeah. And so we had a conversation around, you know, bringing your natural dominant self, who in your day-to-day experience, you're a pretty dominant woman.
Yeah, well, it's not foreign to me at any foreign, level.
Right?
Yeah.
We thought, well, why don't you explore how that lives in the world of sexuality for you?
Which I hadn't really, not with agreement, explored.
Right, ever.
Yeah, no, those were two separate worlds.
Mm-hmm. And certainly in the 4 years we've been together, there've only been hints of that, right?
Right, which like, I expressed to you in ways that I didn't even understand myself, in the sense that I felt primal and I felt like, oh, I could just grab you right now.
Yeah.
I was like saying things like that and I go, wow, where's that coming from, you know?
Right. I mean, even at the beginning of our dynamic, you began asking questions about how you can take control of situations.
Yes, right? I did, right?
Like, I know that you're pretty sexual and you're in control, but how do I stimulate sexuality?
Right.
And, you know, I was like, well, you just get to kneel. Like, you know, it didn't even occur to me that you were
dominant. Isn't that amazing, though?
Hiding.
It didn't occur to me either.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like we misled one another. We actually, this hadn't evolved or occurred or even been experimented with before.
No, and there was a big part of who you were that was very committed to your self-expression as a submissive.
Yes.
That was really...
That was fulfilling.
It was fulfilling, right? It was really fulfilling.
It still is. I mean, it still is.
Of course, right. But it was really fulfilling in a way that it wasn't like you were doing this instead of that. It was just what you were doing. You were just being submissive.
Right.
And we happily explored our dynamic. And because we agreed at the outset to hold hands and jump into the rabbit hole, both feet, we just explored. And so we discovered new things. We discovered interesting things around impact play and around anal April and around hypno kink. Like all of this was just discovery. Mm-hmm. And we didn't orchestrate any of it. And the way your dominant self-expression emerged was also completely natural. The only thing that was different was we actually had a conversation about it because you were like, I'm not sure how this plays.
Well, and I think that's what I want to share with the listeners mostly, is because it's great to talk about in a broad sense of what we are up to and that we explored this and that we had agreements and that we talked about it and that voila, we ended up at this other location. I think what often is missed when people share is the down and dirty of what we talked about. Now, granted, our down and dirty between you and I, based on the time we've been together and the amount of things that have passed between us, is going to be different than others. But I think when you're sharing this kind of thing, people can hear your example and see themselves in your example in a way that gives them access to say, oh, that's similar to me, not exactly, but I could maybe say this and that might get a similar goal, right? Mm. So I'm committed to that right now because I often think when you and I are pretty good at probing guests when we have guests on, in a way where we get to a point in the conversation where we're able to get them to share on a real rudimentary level on whatever we're discussing at the time, because that's where it lies for people on discovery of themselves. You could talk about it, if we're talking to bondage, you could talk about the specific tie and how it crosses, and you could use all the language. I'm not a rope top or a bottom for that matter.
Right.
But the reality is you could describe it in a way that people in that part of fetish life would understand. However, it doesn't get to the conversation that happened before that. And this is what I mean. We did talk about the things that could be scary for people. Could be. I'm not saying they were, because we tried to live in a space where nothing's wrong. But because I have a story, because I'm human, I asked you questions for context. Not that they were deal breakers for me, but I needed to know what was going on. Like, hey, you want me to be dominant now. Am I not a great submissive? Like, is that why you're asking me to be dominant? Another question was, Was this your whole motive the whole time, that you would seduce me in this way for, you know, let's be honest, I wasn't really serious about this question because it was like 4 years into it. But for 4 years, you commit yourself to seducing me and then switch the roles on me. You know, what I did recognize is this was for myself. I could speak for myself, but I could also see it in you because you had made some major transformations. I recognized they were along the way that would open you up in your vulnerability to be able to explore things maybe you hadn't even considered, like weren't even on the docket before.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm at, is I ask those questions, not, well, of course, anyone listening could say any of these questions I ask could be deal breakers for them.
Sure.
Or a further conversation on agreements to choose what works for you as a partnership if you're going to try to stay together. And the reality is, we weren't looking, because we were exploring this, we weren't looking to break up or anything like that. That wasn't part of the conversation.
No.
What it was is, how do we make what we're up to now work and make sense for what we've created already?
Yeah. It's a very interesting conversation because, you know, we were living as a 24/7 total power exchange DS dynamic couple. You're my colored slut.
Well, still are.
You still are. But I'm saying at the moment you were, and you were confronted with, how do I dominate my dominant?
Right. Beyond that, role play. Because yeah, we aren't role players. That's the thing.
We're lifestyle.
We're lifestyle. So yeah, this isn't a question about, I want you to dress up and play medical doctor today.
Right.
This isn't what we do. We are.
We're in it.
In it.
Yeah. And so the thing that I would say was the most significant aspect of our ability to transition into a femdom context for part of our dynamic, mm-hmm. is we don't have any significance to that experience because we love each other and we're sexplorers.
Like, I think that's the thing. True. Yeah. I also think there's a benefit to having me be a demisapiosexual and you being a sapiosexual, because there's some kind of the way we mentally look at relationship. Well, and I'm gonna put this forth. I'm not trying to label you, but I'm gonna say you're not like me as hardcore a demisexual as I am.
Right.
But there are definite parts of you that have opened up based on this exploration that show that you are somewhat of a demisapiosexual. And I mean, you're way more sapio than you are demi.
Yeah.
But I mean that your attachment to connection and relatedness and having someone like myself where you can really let go and be free of all the demons is pretty powerful. That you may not, even if you were not with me, you may not have allowed all this that we're experiencing happen with anyone else.
No, it's true.
I'm not saying I'm special. I'm just saying that it has to do with our dynamics.
I'm going to say you're special.
Well, I'm special, but you know what I mean? I'm not trying to put myself in there. What I'm trying to say is you've evolved.
Well, I mean, this was an exploration for you as a dominant, but it's also an exploration for me as a submissive.
Yeah.
I had to discover, for example, am I just being a power bottom or am I really truly submitting to you?
Oh, right? Yeah. Okay.
And so I was confronted by the context called switch, which I had never considered. Like, I never considered myself a switch.
Well, I'm the one that brought that forth.
You did, right? But I never considered myself that. But I had to confront that because the feelings I was having in the roles that we were playing, where you dominated me, that put me in a headspace that was unfamiliar.
Now, I do think as a switch, yeah. and based on who I am, because I'm deep into the demi and the sapio, I'm only that, let's just say what we're describing, with the right partner. Sides of me will not appear to someone who can't connect with me in a way.
No, sure.
Luckily, I'm with you and I get to explore all this wonderfulness on both sides of the slash because of our dynamic, but it could have been anyone where I literally would not be revealed at any level, like ever.
Right. But I mean, your interpretation of yourself as a sexual dominant wasn't like you flipped a switch. It was like you actually had to explore what that meant for you.
Right.
You know, and so over the last couple of months, mm-hmm. we've created a workability around how we play. So that in the Monday through Friday zone, more or less, you step forward as the dominant. Mm-hmm. And in the weekend zone, more or less, I step forward as the dominant.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've had an opportunity day by day to think about yourself as a sexual dominant.
Right.
And I'm here to tell you on the receiving end of that, that's evolved. Like, you've really evolved.
I'm sure, yeah.
You know, you've evolved as a dominant and a mistress. And the scene we had yesterday was really a great culmination mm-hmm. of really a transition for both of us, you know, for you as a dominant, for me as a submissive, mm-hmm. where you literally turned me inside out, fucked my brains out.
Yeah.
And left me just spent,
yeah,
right? Which
of course.
Is how I leave you.
Yes, you do right? leave me that way.
Yeah, but the experience was quite remarkable mm-hmm. to, if you stepped into our life a year ago,
right,
and then you dropped into our life yesterday,
yeah,
it would have been like a mindfuck. It's a completely different space to be in. Now, one of the things that's true is that in that space, it's a mindfuck for both of us because you're colored to me as your dominant.
Exactly.
And you're dominating me, and right. I'm your dominant, and I'm submitting to you.
Right.
So it's
But this is an agreement.
It's totally an agreement.
And so that's what the beauty is. That's how I can get my head around it, is that we agree to all this.
Right. We talked about it.
And that we talked at length, not just one time, right. many times, even post scene, if questions were coming up or doubts or, you know, queries. I think that's typical of any dynamic or relationship. If you're in a healthy agreement forward, communication forward type of dynamic, that you would talk about things and what you just experienced, and does that work for you or not work for you?
Right.
I mean, you can make a lot of assumptions. Oh, he had an erection or he came. But I always ask anyway, because there's something I think, and I know I experience as a submissive, a physical experience of a scene. And then there's an emotional, mental experience of a scene.
Yeah.
And they aren't always the same.
No.
And they could be in conflict, partly because we're human. And to get clarity with your partner on what they need and want. And I think our biggest strength is that we don't make meaning out of stuff. So, like, let's say I put you in stockings. I went and bought you these stockings. I had so much fun shopping for you. It was really hard to find the size, only because of COVID, there's just less inventory out there. Uh-huh. But to be able to find you something that worked for me, like what I wanted to see
right.
on you,
right.
regardless of whether you wanted to wear them or not. And then I already knew, like, hey, our feet are very close. I remember saying this one time to you when we were talking about our running shoes, and they're close in size. So I'm like, he probably can fit my heels. Let's just see. And then have you go get my heels and then talk you through as a female to some, like I would with my daughter, let's say, a new female. Saying, this is how you put stockings on, like to teach you, like, this is how you put them on. This is why you have to worry about this stuff.
Right.
My nails are super sharp. That's right. why I have these gloves on. I mean, that's why I put a finger condom on right. now, because now that my nails have grown out enough that they're mine, they're super sharp.
Right.
Like, I got to be careful. I can't just cut you, but I want to play with you still.
Right.
And so just showing you that was like one part of dominance in a totally different part of my dominance.
Well, it really was an interesting experience that we had yesterday, because it was my first experience in cross-dressing.
Exactly.
And I've been dealing with all day, how do I think about this? Like, what's my frame, right? Like,
what does that mean?
Like, how does it occur to me, you know?
Right.
Because I was never one who tried on my mom's clothing.
Yeah, you weren't a cross-dresser.
I was never interested in cross-dressing.
We played with cross-dressing recently, but you weren't a cross-dresser. And I can't speak for you. You'll speak for yourself. But the reality is we've had some conversations about that recently.
Yeah.
To mainly, not that it's a judgment for me, but as a dominant in that space, I need to know where you want to go with this.
Yeah.
And that I was just being, because I'm not really motivated by humiliation or degradation
right.
or shame. It just doesn't work for me, because I lived in shame for
right.
so long.
Right.
I'm about sensations. Obviously, yesterday's scene was all about sensations.
Yeah.
Many levels of sensation for you.
For sure. But at the same time, I was kind of attached to the notion that we took on after talking to Nick from Your Kinky Friends
mm-hmm.
on Femdom Friday.
Oh, yeah.
And so then, you know, a week or so ago, you created, I'm going to wear panties all day. And I did.
I know.
And I did, right? And I was like, this is kind of fun, you know?
And I wasn't
like impacted by that. I was wearing panties. Like,
yeah, you didn't, and I'm not trying to single out cross-dressers or
right.
anyone that is interested, feeling that when they finally put panties on, that gives them a feeling that they've been waiting for their whole life. I don't think that's how you experience
it.
My thing was,
I was more like, how do I fit my cock in here?
Yeah, it was more like, I said, just figure it out. I was more like, it's, because I'm not into degradation, but we use the words like, oh, it's naughty, you're just, it's fun, it's play.
Right.
And I've described to you lately, after our play, quite a bit, because I really feel strongly about this. And I've said this in other contexts, even as a submissive, that I feel like what we're up to in general is adult playground, like adult recess.
Yeah.
Like, we're adults, so, you know, we're doing adult things that are not for children, but that they're consensual adults agree to, and that it's our recess, or it's our playtime.
Sure.
It's, you know, I was talking to you something about how when kids play, I don't know, just whatever, cops and robbers, if you're pretending you're one of those characters, no one comes up to you and says, you're not doing it right. You're exactly. not being a good cop. You're right, not being right. The right kind of cop or the right kind of robber.
Right.
What kids go is they go with, oh, that's what you are? Okay, that's how I'm playing my role.
Right.
And
I think there's something to that.
I think there's something really to that. The freedom that play happens, and that we think because we're full-grown adults that we no longer play.
Right.
And I think we play.
Oh, we do. And the other thing is that because we literally have no space between us.
Correct.
It's very easy to take on different black spaces.
Well, there's no fear.
We have no fear. We have no story around it. There's no significance attached to it.
Yeah, we don't make meaning out of it and say, oh, because he's wearing islands, this means this or not.
Yeah, so I was really able to be with this concept called I'm a sissy slut, and you're my mistress, and you're going to fuck your sissy slut. So I'm like all over that. I'm like, yeah, I want you to be in charge and large and, you know,
I definitely was.
Right?
Yeah. I definitely was.
You definitely were. And it was really super arousing. I was extremely hard and erect, and I came with a copious amount of cum. So clearly,
yes, you did.
So clearly it was appropriate. But the point of view that I have around this is that if you get the context called sexploring, right? If you get that context, as sexplorers, we don't really have an agenda. We're not really trying to get anywhere. We're just exploring our experience of sexuality as adults with each other in a really beautiful way. Like, I really feel so close to you, and I feel so aligned with you, and I feel so turned on by you that none of this is a challenge for me emotionally. Like, I'm not impacted by I wore stockings yesterday. Like, that doesn't impact me at all.
I don't sit here and think, oh, he wore stockings. That has some meaning for me.
Right, exactly.
It was literally what we chose to do at that time.
Well, what you chose to do.
Well,
I'm
of
just
course,
your toy,
but
right?
It's an agreement thing.
Yes, of course.
It's consensual.
Yeah.
I just had an epiphany sitting here talking to you about the play and hearing you say about the non-significance.
Yeah.
And of course, kids don't do that. When they come off the playground, they don't keep thinking I'm a robber
as
they go into the classroom.
Right.
The game,
or I was a shitty robber.
The game's over.
Game's
and
over,
then
right.
the next day, new roles are chosen.
Or
and
new
so
games, right. Exactly.
It's interesting. But if you think about when I created the website for us, This brings it all home. What do I call it? Lady Petra's Playground.
Sure.
I mean, I remember thinking that was so appropriate when we first wrote it.
Yeah.
And I didn't budge around that. You gave other names. Not that
right.
you thought it was bad, but I was like, there's something, there's a reason I'm
you
choosing
were, you
this.
You were attached to
and,
that. Yeah.
And I can see now why I'm attached to that, because that's what it is. Again, I keep going back to what we're up to is adult play.
Right. Well, I think our sexual comfort with each other is so heightened that, you know, even at 3 this morning when you're like turning me on and ravaging me and fucking my face.
Ravaging you for sure.
Yeah. And like, I don't have anything on that, right? That's just what we're up to. We're up to that. I can tell you at any time to take your pants off because I'm going to eat your clit or to bend over because I'm going to fuck you or whatever. And, you know, we don't have like there's something about that because we are in a kink forward, sex forward dynamic.
Yes.
And that's something we're committed to.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And it's the whole world of commitment versus attachment.
I think that's the key, though. I think a lot of people are attached to their dynamics, which means, in short, crib notes for that would be, I like the way it sounds. I like what it appears to be to the to everyone else outside of me.
I needed to happen in a particular way.
Well,
right?
You know what I
mean. Attachment is I needed to happen in a particular way. If it doesn't happen that way, then there's something wrong.
Correct.
Right?
But like
but committed
even
is,
saying I'm in a dynamic but not define the dynamic is like, well, at least I'm in a dynamic. People settle.
Sure.
For part of because they're in attachment versus committed to what they're trying to create.
Right.
I do think when we first got together because of your seeking post, the most pivotal thing that we did was be patient, not rush to
That's true.
To the starting line.
Right.
Right. And I know people go, poo poo, it's just about having naughties rubbing. I don't know if that is in kink. There's a lot of communication that has to happen in the forefront. And I mean, you can do a contract and all that wonderfulness, but this is my thought on it. And this might be because I'm a switch, but if you have to write up like a 15-page contract, let's be honest, people can't remember what's on page 12, right?
Sure.
So instead, if you have tenants that cover larger areas of ideas of agreement, I think then you have opportunities to then, when the minutia comes up, to discuss the minutia at a granular level as needed.
Well, I'll give you an example. So we agreed that you're in a 24/7 total power exchange.
Correct.
But the construct around that was that we actually created two things. We created safe words.
Yep.
And we created a no-fly zone, right? These are our hard limits.
Yes.
Right? Deal breakers, right? And we've been true to those.
But we've also done things that weren't part of our agreements, but they happened organically,
yes,
like,
but like
communication.
Well, I want to say that what you're describing has come down to what our real kink is, which is communication, right?
I do think that. We couldn't have what we have in kink without the communication.
We over-communicate, baby.
A lot of words.
Well, one of us has a lot of words.
Yes, of course.
I'm going to say that the experience that we've had together for each of us has been quite remarkable. You know,
mm-hmm.
I like to describe it like we were magnetized in a way that we circled each other and our circles
our orbits,
got tighter.
Yes.
Our orbits got tighter and tighter.
Yeah.
And then we eventually met. And when we met, we actually connected like magnets, but we started to create a zipper. And as we've created our life together, we've just zipped up the zipper so mm-hmm. that we're more connected, more tightly wound, and the zipper just goes up and up because we keep being in communication,
mm-hmm.
right? Like that's the thing that really sews us together is this ability to actually be in communication where I ask you questions and I listen to your answer and you ask me questions and you listen to my answer
mm-hmm.
and we exchange thoughts and we come to agreements.
Well, I can go back in my mind and think back when we were first together and we were still communicating. But our expertise at communicating has, because we work on the skill every day. Like
right.
every day we work on the skill.
Right.
Like not just once, throughout the day and in post scenes, which we seen almost every day. So we're in this, it's 24/7. I mean, and that's the reality.
Right.
And what I have discerned is what I may or may not have said to you in query in those first few months of us together.
Yeah.
Has dramatically changed now where I'll just turn to you and say, even when we were coming home from the store today, we were talking about our scene
yeah.
and we're just in the car. So it's not this high,
high
importance,
right.
high order
just,
type of conversation.
Just
we're
a chat.
Just literally having a chat. And
right.
I said, so what do you want to do with the sissy girl thing?
Yeah.
Are you attached to the sissy girl? Are you attached to
being feminized,
me being
yeah.
diving deeper into this way, and like I want to know where you want to go, which can obviously you can have a conversation with somebody and it can change in a month or 3 months
or
a year
or a day.
So it's
right.
not like it ends with one conversation, but
right.
what you do is you have a conversation and find out the path or the motivation. And it was interesting because I didn't have a idea of what you were. I had an idea of what I thought.
Right, of course.
But then you share with me, well, you know what it is it just seems hot in that context when you, you know, call me your sissy bitch.
Right.
And that's just an erotic context that for some reason is erotic, which God knows, we don't always know why things are erotic for us, right? So I get that. I have really weird things that are erotic for me too.
Sure.
And I can't figure out why they're erotic, right?
Right.
but that you definitely see yourself as this, and you don't feel like I'm trying to become a woman at this point.
Oh, no. There's
and
nothing
I'm
like
trying
that.
To become trans, or I'm trying to, I want to go drive around and be a woman in women's clothes. And I'm not judging.
That's there for some people.
But that is there for some people.
But not for me, right?
But for me as a dominant, to know where you're trying to go and explore is helpful for me to then go, oh, this is either comfortable for me or it's not.
Right.
And then if it is comfortable for me, okay, now I really know kind of his boundary parameters. Now I can go a little more hardcore in this area because there's a comfortable safetiness for both of us. Because the reality is someone can have a fantasy and it doesn't always fit with their submissive or dominant,
right,
depending on where they are. And that is usually creates a conversation to find out how do we work through this.
Yeah,
right?
No, like I told you, this is a conversation I've been having with myself for 30 years.
Wow.
You know, and it started randomly. I remember one night I was masturbating in London when I was with my sister. I had to go to sleep. I had to get up to catch a jet in the morning.
So that helps you fall asleep.
And I always masturbate to fall asleep. And I just had recently had a bunch of anal experiences with some people back here in Seattle.
Sure.
And I just fantasized about being like somebody's little sissy bitch.
Right.
And that one fantasy has stuck with me for 30 years.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
And what's happening now is I'm submitting to you. And in this submission, you're being dominant. And the way you're dominant is the way you're dominant. And the way I submit is the way I submit. And when you make me your sissy girl, the reason you make me your sissy girl is because you make me your sissy girl. It's not like there's anything around that, right? There's no significance
to it.
There's
no significance.
And me being your sissy girl, the reason I'm your sissy girl is because I'm your sissy girl. It's not like I'm your sissy girl because I'm trying to recapture some childhood fantasy.
If you think about it, these are all based on what turns us on.
Exactly.
And so we're motivated.
I was extremely aroused.
We're motivated as loving partners.
Yeah.
I mean, I am, whether I'm submissive or dominant, to provide a sensual experience for you to feel eroticism. I think that's like the key. And likewise, when I'm your submissive or dominant, based on your actions that you do on either side of the slash, that arouses me too.
Yeah. Well,
it's like a win.
Totally. I love that you get sexual satisfaction from dominating me. Like, I love it.
It's pretty hot.
Because the experience of being dominated by you is incredibly intoxicating. Like it is. For me, as a man, to have a powerful, sexy woman just take you, oh my God, that shit's hot. And, you know, the experience, because we've explored anal sex together for two years.
For a long time, yeah.
You know, the fact that you can now strap on and fuck my ass and come while you do it, that to me is like fucking the trifecta. That's like,
it is.
That's like so great. And you see, the thing is, like, I'm all about your sexual pleasure. Like, that's who I am as a dominant and as a submissive. I actually take a great deal of personal satisfaction, like deep emotional satisfaction from causing you to be like a silly, gibbering cum slut as a submissive and as a dominant to have you feel satisfied in your taking of me, right?
Well, like, and I'll have to say that's the same for me.
Yeah.
As a submissive, to get you on edge where you have to change scene because you are afraid you're going to come.
Right.
I think that's a win because I'm doing something right. And then as a dominant, to be able to explore with you and be comfortable in my dominance. And mainly that means, you know, there is no prescribed way to be dominant.
No.
Like, there isn't, like, for males or females, like, this is how you are dominant.
No.
There really is just your way.
Yeah.
And I've really had to become peaceful with who I am as a dominant.
Well, that's an interesting question.
Which is interesting because in my professional world as a dominant for years, I was very uncomfortable with who I was as a dominant because I was in a man's world and it was dictated by men and therefore I didn't fit. There was no one like me to look towards, to use as an example. And, you know, they always say in kids, like, if they can see it, they can be it.
Sure.
You know, I was being it before I saw it, kind of thing. That was my existence. So I was always like from the hip, just winging it, right? And everything. So here I am now going to experience or express myself sexually as a dominant. And I struggle with this for a little. I remember telling you I was struggling. What's my brand? How do I, what kind of dominant am I going to look like? What am I? I was really into that because I was trying to find a way to,
well, you're trying to find
hang
your leg
on to something. Right. And then, of course, you did something phenomenal, which I think really changed everything, was you commissioned a work of art for me.
Yeah, from Dirksburg.
Yeah. And I didn't know it was coming. And obviously, you present it to me, and I'm probably pretty overwhelmed when I get it, because it's overwhelming, first of all, for someone to commission art for you. I've never had that. I mean... Women need to have that more often, but I'm just saying that's like a high standard. I mean, if you just think of all this art of these women that are hanging in museums of women,
right?
So someone at some point commissioned that art to have that, even if it was her, but and she was wealthy enough to do it. But the reality is that's what people look at in museums.
Right.
So here I am getting this commissioned piece of art that you had beautifully framed, and it was gorgeous. And the first thing I see is my face. Like, it's recognizable that it's me.
Yeah.
I mean, the artist is phenomenal because he captured me.
Well, what he did was he captured your dominance without you being dominant.
Without me sending a photo in this pose for him to copy.
No, what he did
was... He literally did this out of his mind.
Yeah, he looked at you as a woman.
Yeah.
And he saw the playfulness in you and the adventurous spirit that you have.
Right.
And he saw the natural dominance in you.
And you also gave him tons of cues.
And I guided him, exactly. But the point is, he was able to capture you in a way that you saw yourself as a dominant for the first time.
And it was like that.
And it was that. Yeah.
First of all, I saw myself, which is a huge thing with just being human, seeing yourself in that context, like seeing yourself.
Right.
That was powerful. And then to capture me in a way that really captured the type of dominant, the playful, sensual, like type of dominant. I may have a little bit of sadistic side to me, but you can see that in the photo too, in the art as well. But the reality is it captured so many parts in one still.
Well, it totally unlocked your mindset.
That I was like, oh, that could be what I look like.
Right.
Or be.
Right. And you see.
So it's like weird to have no mentors before, no one that fits my thing.
Right.
And then all of a sudden to see an image of myself in some kind of situation that then fits my thing. And then that becomes my catalyst.
And you actually have lived into that in a completely.
Yeah.
No, you actually have.
Actually.
You've lived into
it.
You have totally lived into it. I'm the experience of that. You literally create me as your submissive in the way you interact with me.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about creating each other. You are creating me as your submissive in the way you interact with me. And I'm having an experience of submission that was really unexpected. Like, I didn't understand how it would occur to me because I'm completely not submissive in any part of my life, right?
Yeah, that's how you understand yourself to be.
Yeah, I was always like the captain of everything, the leader of everything, the organizer of everything, the like clown who got up on the stage to perform of everything, right? I was always that person. But here I am, completely obedient to you in a way that is surprising to me and to you. And the truth is that it's very sexy. It's I'm susceptible to seduction, I said that, but I'm susceptible at a root level. Like, this is like in my DNA.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, that's why when we've been talking more and more over time, that's why Switch has, I even said it to you one time, I can't remember if we were on a pod or something, but I said, you're acting like a Switch. Like I didn't mean that like a role play.
Right.
Because we don't role play. We are all in. And I was like saying it like, no, this is what you're actually... You're switching. Like, I can see you switch.
You should be getting heady, and you can see me like having that experience. I just want to say that the fulfillment of this journey from the beginning, every day has been the most fulfilling day of my life, right? We have fulfilled in each other's self-expression as sexual creatures, as lovers, as partners. were aligned in incredible ways. You know, it's just been like an amazing day-to-day experience of being fulfilled authentically with each other, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's just been the experience. And this is a new twist. Like it's given us openings. It's almost like it's given us openings to each other's worlds in a way.
Like all kinds of
It's kind of like the way I think of it is, it's like for 4 years, we function on one half of the clock from 12 to 6. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And now we're functioning on the whole clock from 12 to 6 and then from 6 to 12.
Something so simple when we were sharing recently, I think today even, we were talking about there's some images that I posted of you in stockings with your cock hard and your heels on. And we were talking to you and you had written this article on FetLife about, you know, I didn't dare walk in the heels or kill myself.
Right, exactly.
And it brought up a simple thing, like a totally non-sexual simple thing, like, oh, now you know what it's like to be a woman.
Right.
Like you're afraid to stand in those.
Yeah.
Bill, that's what we have to do all the time. And then like, you're afraid of snagging your nylons because you want to look nice when you go. Well, that's a fear like all the time. And so you have to imagine whether you get it or not, but just having some empathy on what it's like to be a woman in the sense of on a very low level, but on the sense of all this, you can understand why women have a lot of words. All this other stuff is going on in the background that they're concerned with in addition to what's really happening in front of them.
I think it's just because women have a bigger corpus callosum.
They probably do.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. But I'm just saying.
No, I get it.
I think all relationships would get better if, outside of kink even, I just think relationships would get better if partners would share in these type of gender-based things.
That's interesting.
Because I think we don't have affinity or understanding or even true empathy for one another to know, to say, oh, I understand now why I'm not just saying it's he, it could be her, but this person that I'm attached to is so exhausted when they come home because of this.
Yeah. Well, we've talked to a lot of cuckold couples and femdom couples and so on. And it's always been like a fetish, right? Oh, that's just a fetish. Like it's a cuckold is a fetish and femdom's a fetish. But actually, I can totally see the benefit of a femdom dynamic. I totally can, right?
Yeah.
And I couldn't have before we did this, right? But I can now. And, you know, I feel like every aspect of our dynamic is very organic. Like we don't have like a frame or a plan or a...
There's no recipe.
No, we have none of that, right? We're just exploring together.
Yeah. We're sex explorers.
We're sex explorers.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, that's who we are. We're sex explorers. And I love it. I love you and I love the experience of being your partner. Mm-hmm. And I love the experience of being your dominant. And I really enjoy and love the experience of being your submissive. It's very fucking cool.
It's so much fun. What we're up to is fun. And we talked about this. We'll grab each other's hand at the beginning of our dynamic and jump into the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
And each time we're going, this year has been hugely transformational for us.
Yeah.
That each time we're going through the rabbit hole, we make a new turn. And that leads to a whole other set of
discoveries.
Possibilities and discoveries that we have in front of us. And we don't choose them all, but we choose what works. I mean, shoot, we just recently did a podcast on food play.
Exactly.
And in one of my mistress scenes with you, I incorporated a small amount. I don't go 0 to 60. I'm very good about, I think I'm good about slowly bringing things in play. And then I usually have an agenda. And then often you will critique me afterwards and give me your agenda. And I'm thinking, well, that wasn't my agenda at all. But then we share that with one another because that is part of the growth of us learning where we are on the slash when we're playing.
It's so fun. We're coming up on our third year collared.
Oh my goodness. This is like super, like I'm feeling it like already. Like, oh my God, we're ready to recommit our collaring ceremony. Right. This is the time. And it's never a scary thing. It's just I feel like a huge amount of responsibility and joy and elation. It's almost, I would say this, I'm going to just say this because it feels this way to me. It's a very spiritual experience for me.
For sure. Yeah.
With another human, like at a level that's beyond just, hey, this was great. We renewed our vows. It's not that.
You know, we talked briefly about the difference between commitment and attachment.
Right.
And the relationship we have as a collared couple is a commitment.
Yes.
And if your actions are given by your commitment, mm-hmm. we're in action to fulfill in our commitment ongoingly. And it's really been
amazing. But it's not amazing. I'm in commitment on Monday and then I'm not in commitment again until Friday.
Committed is committed. It's
like
every
we're committed and you'll see our actions play out.
Yeah, day by day.
Every day, every moment, every second. Yeah. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have breakdowns from time to time. We do. We're human. Everybody does.
But we have a frame of breakdowns.
But even when we have a breakdown, we're committed to the dynamic.
Yeah.
And so we work on the breakdown.
So we have a break.
So that we have a breakthrough.
Right.
And that we eliminate the space. Right. So we go back to complete alignment.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds simple when you just say it like that, because it isn't that simple.
It takes something.
It takes something.
Right.
And it takes being vulnerable and completely honest with one another. We value, like, what we look at the amount of time we have vested in our dynamic and the quality of our dynamic is so high that at this point, like, what's the other choice?
Exactly.
Like, the other choice sucks, right?
For us, yes.
So for us, it's like, no, this has to be healthy and kept going forward. And, you know, I'll leave it like this. We're not getting off the dirt ball. This is it. You choose to spend your time with, to grow with.
And how you choose to spend that
and
time.
And how you choose to spend your time.
Right.
And how you want to experience your world here.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all you have.
Yeah. This and is it. And it's the only it.
I feel like I've won the lottery. I have the best partner ever.
Ditto. I feel the same way.
And it's unreal what we experience.
I love you. I love laughing with you. I love playing with you. I love fucking you. I love being fucked by you. I love the way we play together.
I just love touching you and grabbing you.
I love the way we cook together. I like the way we drink together.
Yeah.
I like the way we get high together.
Yes.
I just really enjoy the whole thing. Like, there's not a part of my life, day by day by day, that I have any single regret about. Like, none.
No,
and that's
completely
different than the life I lived before I had you in my life.
For me too. For me too.
So I'm excited about the next year of our coloring and where that's going to go.
It's because, like,
this rabbit hole, man, it just takes twists and turns.
I mean, it sounds cliche for me to say this and not to ram this home for people, but people, we're way past limerence of a new relationship. Like, we're way past limerence, which is the new relationship type of love, right?
Relationship feels,
that's usually within the first 2 or 3 years at the most. We are, like, deep. And I'll tell you, limerence was great at the time. I'm sure I thought that was great. It's only gotten better. Like, it only gets better. Like, can you imagine having access to creating something where it absolutely gets better and better?
It's been like that. Yeah.
That's the commitment we have to our dynamic. And that's what people can create.
Yeah.
I really believe it. If they commit like we have, I mean, not exactly like we do every day, but in their own way.
Contextually,
I do think people have access to something that is,
well,
I mean, far and few between.
It's true. Neither one of us has ever had an experience like this.
Right.
And the way we experience each other is so unusual that we keep asking each other, where was this? When did this happen? How did this happen? What did it take? And you know what it took? It took being in communication and talking through it and actually coming to agreements and then going into the conversation about exploring those agreements together and actually being present day by day by day to each other's absolute experience.
Well, exploring cautiously and carefully and then having a conversation after to dispel any stories that came up or questions that came up, and then, okay, now we feel safe again, so let's explore here and maybe go a little further and see where that takes us. Oh, that was interesting. And then discuss. I mean, that's really what it takes. I really recommend people, and we did this in our dynamic, we didn't just jump in the sack together. We didn't go 0 to 60. I do think that is part of the parameters of something that's sustainable.
Right.
What we did was communicate clearly so we were on the same page. When we embarked on something, it was clear. There wasn't, and we're both in integrity. We stuck to whatever we said we were going to do. We didn't just say, she said this, but I'll just do this all of a sudden.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say, to wrap this up, I'm going to say I'm living my authentic self-expression and you are too.
I'm living with freedom, power, and full self-expression.
It's amazing.
And that's my thanks to you.
Yeah, ditto.
Yeah. That's it for today. If you're interested in kinky relationship coaching, online domination, or if you'd like to sponsor the pod to keep it going, please visit our Patreon website at Lady Petra Playground. You can reach me via email at ladypetraplayground@gmail.com. Our music is composed and performed by Roger Ferguson, who can be found at rogerfergusonmusic.com. Till next time, cheers!